Yesterday, Sayaraji explained how Dukkha Satya should be understood theoretically and how the Dukkha Satya should be discerned through the practice. And Sayaraji explained that how the Dukkha Satya is obvious to the yogi. So the Dukkha Satya is obvious at the sixth sense door, eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, and touch. And Sayaraji explained each one of them. The consciousness, contact and the feeling are nama mentality. And there is seeing consciousness, hearing consciousness, smelling consciousness, tasting consciousness, touching consciousness, and knowing consciousness. When the objects come to strike at the sixth sense door, there will be seeing consciousness, hearing consciousness, and so on. When the object and the consciousness come into contact at the sixth sense door, passa contact arises. And based on the object, whether it is pleasant or unpleasant or neutral, there will be good feeling, bad feeling, and neutral feeling. And Sayaraji explained these as well. So the consciousness, contact, and the feeling are the nama mentality, which are dukkha satya, the truth of suffering. And they are arising due to the circumstances. So in seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, and so on, these can be analyzed as nama and rupa, as visible object, the eye base, seeing consciousness, seeing contact, and seeing feeling. So it is analyzed like that in the Abhidhamma. But in Suttanta way, one should be noting seeing just as seeing. And whenever one hears, one should note it as hearing, not analyzing like in Abhidhamma. One should note in general term just as seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, knowing. And also, the same goes with bending, stretching, turning, lifting, moving, and placing. One should be noting in generally just as seeing, hearing, smelling, and so on. In the beginning of the practice, when viriya, sati, and samadhi, effort, mindfulness, and concentration are not strong yet, it is not possible for the yogi to be discerning dukkha satya, the truth of suffering, abandoning smudhya satya, the origin of suffering, realizing nirodha satya, the truth of cessation, and developing Magga Satya, the truth of the path, in the beginning of the practice. Yogi should not be noting the object, reflecting that I am now discerning Dukkha Satya, abandoning Smudhya Satya, realizing Nirodha Satya, or developing Magga Satya. It is just as theory. But one has not discerned these truths yet, in the beginning of the practice. To put it into practice, when dukkha satya, the truth of suffering, are arising at the present moment, one should be noting the object with aim and effort, aiming the noting mind towards the object, exerting effort so that there will be sustained mindfulness on the object, and the mind will fall calm and collected on the object. Noting thus, one will discern dukkha satya, the truth of suffering, and one abandons mudita satya, the origin of suffering, through the practice. By practicing, one develops vipassana jnana, inside knowledge, stage by stage, and one realizes nibbana, and one realizes nirodha satya, the truth of cessation of all suffering. Among the four satya, Saraji explained that the first two, dukkha satya and smudhiya satya, are called vata satya, and the later two, nirodha satya and magga satya, are called vivata satya. And among these four, Saraji explained earlier that the yogi has to start working on the first two, vata satya. And it is necessary to explain why or how the vata satya is very profound and vivata satya is difficult to be discerned. Among the four noble truths, the first two truths are said to be dodasata gambirani. The first two truths are difficult to be discerned, and thus they are profound. The later two truths are said to be gambirata dodasani, meaning because these later two are profound, it is difficult to discern the last two. So one should understand that the first two, dukkha satya and smudhiya satya, the origin, the truth of suffering, and the truth of origin of suffering, are difficult to be discerned, and thus they are profound. The later two satya, nirodha satya, the truth of cessation, and magga satya, the truth of path leading to the cessation, these two are profound, and thus these two are difficult to be discerned. In order to clarify, Saraji explains how the first two truths are difficult to be discerned and thus profound. Dukkha satya, the truth of suffering, is obvious when one steps on a thorn or when one trip on the stone when walking and it caused pain, and one has to say it's very painful. So dukkha satya, the truth of suffering, is obvious in the cases like that. And for smudhiya satya, the truth of origin of suffering, is obvious when one longs to, when one craves to eat some snack, or when one is hungry, craving for meals, or when one is thirsty, one longs to drink. So in these cases, Muriya Sutta, the truth of origin of suffering is obvious, but the characteristics of Dukkha Sutta and Smudhya Sutta are difficult to be discerned. Because the characteristics of these Sutta, the truths, are difficult to be discerned, thus they are profound. Dukkha can be categorized into 12, but here Saroji will explain on three categories of dukkha which are taught by the teachers. There are three types of dukkha. The first one is dukkha dukkha. The second one is sankhara dukkha. And the third is viparinama dukkha. Saroji explains that the first kind of dukkha, which is called dukkha dukkha, is two in type. The first one is kayika dukkha, physical suffering. Physical suffering manifests as hardness, heat, coldness, stiffness, tension. When these hardness, heat, stiffness, tension, they are very extreme, that causes suffering in the body. And especially if there are certain kind of illnesses, the suffering in the body is more intense. So these bodily sufferings, the physical sufferings, are called kayika dukkha. Cetasika dukkha, the mental suffering, there are two kinds. So together, there is one kind of kayika dukkha, physical suffering, two kinds of cetasika dukkha, mental suffering, and thus there are three kinds of dukkha dukkha. So when one is encountered with these physical suffering or mental suffering, then one experiences suffering. The term dukkha dukkha is made up of two words of the same meaning. And when a word is made up of two words of the same meaning, it means that it is extreme. So dukkha dukkha means extreme suffering. Extremely painful, extremely suffering. And people are encountering extreme suffering, and dukkha dukkha is obvious to these people. In the world, in order to make one's living for oneself or for family, to have good standard of life, in order to get good things, one has to make effort in order to gain these worldly standards of life. So it is suffering. The suffering one gets by having to work for, having to work for these things, they are sankhara dukkha. So people are having sankhara dukkha, having to do things which are suffering, having to do things that one will like to have. It takes more effort in order to gain human pleasure or deva pleasure. So one has to do many things such as dana and also one has to practice morality, and also one has to practice bhavana, mental development practice, in order to develop one's mind and the knowledge. And also, sankhara dukkha is obvious in daily life. When one has to go to a party, one has to look for appropriate dress or clothes, beautifying oneself, putting cosmetics, ornaments. So it is also suffering. So one has to work for good things, having to encounter many kinds of sankhara dukkha. And by getting good things, by working, one can enjoy the happiness that is insignificant. But there is arising, decaying, and passing away. It is the nature of sankhara, but it may not be obvious to the person yet. But when one sees the signs of passing away, especially when one gets to the near death, when one thinks of this kind of situation, or you may have seen someone who is about to die, then one feels sorrowful and grief. So the kind of the good things that one gets by working in the way of sankhara dukkha, it may bring happiness momentarily for a short while, but it passes after some time. When one has to depart with these good things, with the loved ones, how sorrowful it would be. So the things, the good things that one gets by sankhara dukkha, it is good for a short term, but as it passes away due to circumstances, one feels sorrowful to be parting with them. So the kind of good things that one gets by working, the things one gets by sankhara dukkha, they bring happiness, but when one has to part with them, one feels sorrow and grief. The more good things that one has to part with, the more sorrow and grief will there be, and there will be more suffering. It is said that titi sukha viprinama dukkha. When one has good, when one has worked for good things, when one gets these good things by working, one gains happiness. But when good things pass away, it brings suffering. It is called viprinama dukkha, the suffering caused by reversal or loss. All the worldly beings have viprinama dukkha. And Saraji gives an example of the bulls which are tied up to the cart. When the bulls move front, there is the yoke that is on them that made them suffer. And also, turning back also, they have the cart behind, which also caused them suffering. So, however, the bull that has been connected to the cart, whether they go front or they turn back, it is suffering in any way. So in the same way, the world, the worldlings, the beings in the world are meeting dukkha. One may know dukkha, suffering, by reflection. And also when there is craving to eat, to drink, then one may reflect it as smudhya sajja, the truth of suffering. But they do not know clearly the characteristics of dukkha sajja and smudhya sajja. If one does not see the flaws, one will take things as good. So the majority of the people in the world, they do not know suffering as suffering. Instead of knowing suffering as suffering, they even take it as good and pleasant. They think that seeing is good, hearing is good and pleasant, and so on. Not knowing suffering as suffering is called apadipatti avijja. Knowing in the opposite way, knowing the suffering as good and pleasant, is called mijja patipatti avijja. Because of the ignorance and delusion, these beings know wrongly, and these beings know the opposite of the truth. Not knowing the origin of suffering is to be abandoned. Rather than knowing that the origin of suffering is to be abandoned, they think of it as good and pleasant. When the person wants to be well and wealthy, due to the samudaya, due to the craving, the person works hard for the things he, she needs. By working hard in order to gain what he, she wants, and if these things, if one can have these things, one even think that it is the cause for happiness, and so on. So it is also apadipatti avijja and mijja patipatti avijja, not knowing the origin of suffering, that it is to be abandoned. It has to be abandoned. Not knowing the origin of suffering and knowing wrongly, not knowing the suffering and knowing wrongly, one will have thick, intense avijja, ignorance. If the origin of suffering is removed, also the suffering will be removed, and there will not be further existences. But the person who does not discern the truth, the person who knows wrongly, think that the state of deathlessness is a great death. Not knowing the good virtues of the cessation of all sufferings, not knowing the virtues of the path leading to the cessation, one does not want to remove the origin of suffering. Not knowing that it is good to attain cessation of suffering, one thinks that the state of deathlessness is a great death, so it wouldn't be good to attain Nibbana because there will not be anything. So in this way, they are afraid to attain Nibbana, which is the cessation of all suffering. And also, they are afraid to practice the path leading to cessation, thinking that this is the path to great death. So in this way, they do not like to attain Nibbana, the true cessation, nor they do not want to practice the path leading to cessation. They are still attached in the sufferings as well as origin of the suffering. They do not hold high esteem of Nibbana, the cessation, or the path leading to cessation, thinking that it is a great death. Thinking that Nibbana is the great death is caused by intense delusion and ignorance. And many of the people are having ignorance and delusion, thinking that Nibbana is great death. So Buddha had to explain by showing the virtues of the cessation as well as the path leading to cessation. And Buddha had to expound, showing the bad consequences, which were the sufferings, and what is the origin of suffering. So what the Buddha expounded, showing the bad consequences, they are Dukkha Sacca and Samudaya Sacca. Dukkha Sacca and Samudaya Sacca, the truth of suffering and the truth of origin of suffering, are difficult to be discerned, and thus they are profound. However, Dukkha Sacca and Samudaya Sacca are difficult to be discerned and profound, but if one can remove the things that are hiding, concealing the truth, by removing the things concealing the truth, these two truths will become obvious to the person. So this involves the practice of Satipatthana meditation. If one does not see good things that has no guarantee, as long as one does not see the flaws of it, one will take them as good and there will be craving and clinging. In order to remove craving, one has to see the flaws. Seeing the flaws, there will no longer be craving. So Buddha taught to be mindful of whatever is arising within oneself, which are Dukkha Sacca, the truth of suffering. Whatever is arising at the six sense doors are Dukkha Sacca, the truth of suffering. And one has to be mindful of whatever thing, whatever object is arising within the six sense door. One should not be noting by thinking or reflection, but one has to know them, observe them with satipatthana practice. In the beginning of the practice, one may not be able to note every seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, but one has to start with the object that is few and simple. So one has to start with the few object that is easy to note. During the sitting meditation, one has to note the rising and falling of the abdomen as the primary object. One has to breathe in normally, and when one breathes in, the abdomen rises, manifesting as stiffness, tension, and movement, which is rupa, materiality, which is dukkha satta, the truth of suffering. Noting rising, falling involves rupa, materiality, and also nama, mentality. And one has to start noting on rising and falling of the abdomen. So yogis are advised to note rising of the abdomen from the very beginning of the rising all the way through till the end. And in order to be aware of the whole rising, one should note with aim and effort, aiming the noting mind towards the rising, asserting effort so that the noting mind reaches the rising of the abdomen. So in this way, every time the abdomen rises, one has to note with aim and effort so that the noting mind will be concurrent with the rising. And also, when falling takes place, one's mindfulness should be from the very beginning of the falling all the way through till the end. In order to be mindful of the whole falling, one should note with aim and effort so that the noting mind will be concurrent with the falling of the abdomen. So yogis are guided and advised to note in such a way. In order to note the objects such as rising and falling of the abdomen, one should aim and direct one's noting mind towards the object, and one should exert effort so that the noting mind reaches the object. When noting the object with aim and effort, the mind reaches the object of meditation, and the noting mind sticks onto the object, and the mind falls calm and collected. The mind does not run elsewhere. Noting thus, one develops sati and samadhi, mindfulness and concentration. In the beginning of the practice, one does not discern dukkha satta, the truth of suffering, right away. In the beginning, by noting rising and falling of the abdomen, the noting mind may fall on the form or shape of the abdomen at times. At times, the noting mind may fall on the manner of rising and falling. When the Kanika Samadhi, momentary concentration, becomes strengthened, one may know the nature such as stiffness, tension, movement. However, the noting mind falls on the form or shape of the abdomen or the manner of rising and falling, still it is beneficial. When the mind falls on either the form or shape or the manner of rising or falling, by noting rising, falling, the defilements such as laziness, has no chance to arise. Having exerting effort in the practice, the viriya effort does not give way for these defilements to arise. When the noting mind is aimed and directed towards the object, there will not be wrongful thoughts, such as thoughts of sensual desire, thoughts of ill will, envy, jealousy, thoughts wanting to torment others. These wrongful thoughts have no chance to arise when the noting mind is aimed and directed onto the object. When the noting mind sticks onto the object, there will be mindfulness, sati, and this sati mindfulness protects the mind so that the defilements cannot enter. The noting mind falling calm and collected on the object, there will not be restlessness or worry. The defilements have no chance to arise. So when these defilements have no chance to arise, the mind is pure and clean. By practicing continuously, when the mind becomes pure and clean, away from the defilements, dukkha satta and smudhya satta will become obvious to the yogi automatically, and it is the immediate benefit of the practice. So by noting the object with aim and effort, the mind will be pure and clean away from these defilements. So one gains the purity of mind by being mindful. If the yogi is practicing in an easygoing manner, practicing in a haphazard way, not mindful of all the activities, all the movements, the noting not being thorough, such kind of yogi is losing the purification of the mind. So while the yogis are having this precious opportunity to practice here in this meditation retreat, Syaraji encourages to practice diligently so that the defilements that can arise by lack of mindfulness will have no chance to arise. So may you all be able to practice diligently so that you will be gaining purity of mind. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.